Welcome back to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. Steve Zwemke filling in for Lori Walsh this afternoon. There are very few physical reminders that the Hiawatha Asylum for Insane Indians in Canton, South Dakota ever existed. Precious few photographs exist of the asylum. However, a new exhibit opened this weekend at the Dakota Discovery Museum in Mitchell, an exhibit that brings the public closer to the asylum than the grainy photos found on the internet. Hiawatha Insane Asylum tells the story of the first and only asylum dedicated to Indians in the United States. Tragically, many of the 350 people housed at the museum did not suffer mental illness and were incarcerated for arbitrary reasons, such as resisting Indian agents, embracing their own traditional lifestyles, or simply misbehaving. We're joined now by Rod Brown, manager of the Dakota Discovery Museum in Mitchell, to learn more about the new exhibit. And Rod, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you very much. I enjoy being on your program.
Well, it's great to have you with us today. First of all, one question. Any idea why Canton was the location for this facility?
Well, I've been told that there was a state-level senator in South Dakota who was lobbying the U.S. Senate or U.S. Congress to have the location placed in Canton. I'm not real sure beyond that. It had rail access, and most of those who were brought to Hiawatha, my understanding is, were brought by rail. Mm-hmm. That would have been a convenient thing, but there were a lot of places that rail went. So, and to precisely answer your question, I'm not able to.
Okay. It seems like there's been more of a spotlight on the asylum recently. There's yearly remembrances in Canton. There's been a lot of research recently, and we've even had discussions right here on In the Moment. Can you account for the newfound attention to the asylum?
I think it's part of a movement to not necessarily try to change, because it's impossible to change what's happened in the past, but there is a desire to know and to understand, which I think is a very good thing. And I think that we see that locally with interest in Hiawatha, but you could look at that, I think, in a more global fashion, with people desiring to understand lifestyles, cultures, and so forth across certainly the United States and around the world as well. So I think this is part of an upswing globally to try to understand things.
Yeah, simply just good to learn from history, whether it's history in the good or history in the bad. Let's go ahead and start to visit about the exhibit now, which opened, I believe, Saturday at the Dakota Discovery Museum. And it's interesting. I got to take a look at some of the photos, and the photos make me want to come over there and actually take a look in person. But as we said at the top, a lot of artifacts and even pictures of the museum are very hard to find these days. Go ahead and tell me about the exhibit and how this became part of the Dakota Discovery Museum.
Sure. This is a collaboration. And the interesting thing to me is that I had a guest come into the museum quite a number of months ago who was connected with another group of individuals. And we got to talking, and that conversation led into a discussion of Hiawatha. And I made an offer to that individual, and she spoke with other members of the group that she's associated with, and one thing led to another, and then we were able to open the doors to the group to put the exhibit on. It's going to be, you know, as you mentioned, it started or opened up to the public on Saturday in what I refer to as a soft opening. The official opening will be this evening, but this will be in place through the middle of the month of November, just the week before the Thanksgiving holiday is when we'll close this. And so it worked out very serendipitously for us to be able to bring this exhibit into the museum and raise the profile of Hiawatha, the events surrounding it, the just horrible circumstances and treatment of individuals that should never have happened but did. And so it helps us to be able to tell a story. And it's a very real story and a very important story.
So today is good timing having you on as it becomes the big opening here later this evening. Before we go any further, Rod, I should ask you, too, the location of the Discovery Museum, Dakota Discovery Museum in Mitchell, so that people that want to come over and take a look can know the address, and also your website.
Sure. The website is www.dakotadiscovery.com, and people can find out general information about the museum there. The physical location is 1300 McGovern Avenue here in Mitchell, and that is on the east side of the Dakota Wesleyan University campus. And so we have the benefit of being part of Dakota Wesleyan, so we have students coming. In fact, we had a student group come in this morning and walk through the exhibit and get to see some of the art that's been produced to remember and to memorialize.
Now, we don't want to steal the thunder as people make plans to come over and see the exhibit, but what are some of the things that are, in your opinion, were actually hard to come by for this exhibit?
This is an interesting situation because there's so little physical evidence is not a very good word, but there are so few physical artifacts available. It's very difficult to build an exhibit, especially from a historical standpoint, based on artifacts. And so this exhibit takes a unique turn, and that is we see Hiawatha through the eyes of artists. And the artists that were engaged in putting this all together are the artists of the Blood Run artists of the Big Sioux. And that is an association of artists that work in eastern South Dakota. That name, Blood Run, comes from an archaeological site on the Big Sioux River and at the border of South Dakota and Iowa. And so they've done a lot of work with Hiawatha. And so the representations, most of the representations that are in the exhibit are artistic interpretations of history. And that's the best approach for us at this moment because the actual history in terms of photographs, records, artifacts is very thin. And so it's difficult to get that. So we have to find another way to tell that particular story. And so we have, as a part of that, I'll mention just a few things. We have one piece of art that represents the layout of the cemetery. At least 126 people died at Hiawatha, and they were buried in unmarked graves. And the reason they were unmarked is because stone markers were considered to be too expensive. And so we have the plot. And we have the number, an identifying number in all but five cases of the person that was buried in that site. So that's represented on the wall of the gallery. Another piece that is in there is that we have some traditional tribal dolls. And the reason that those are important is not because they specifically came from Hiawatha, but it was an activity that the inmates at Hiawatha engaged in, the making of dolls for children. And so we have some of those on exhibit. there are several other pieces. One other that I will mention for you is that we've got a small piece in the center of the gallery that includes six mason jars. And inside each of the jars is an item or items that is significant to Hiawatha. For example, there's a railroad spike. Well, that's important because most of the people who came to Hiawatha came by way of railroad. There's another that has stone building material that's in there. Well, it's representative of the building or structures that were there at Hiawatha. So the artists that have put these things together have done a beautiful job, created some very, very beautiful art that gives an interpretation of Hiawatha from their perspective.
That's all so interesting, and not only interesting, but a little bit haunting and a little bit sad as well, as we remember this history. Rod Brown is with us, and again, he's the manager from the Dakota Discovery Museum in Mitchell. He joins us for our weekly Images of the Past segment right now on In the Moment. And it's interesting, too, you brought up that there's a geographical tie-in between Blood Run, which is not too far away from Canton. Can you tell me a little more about the artists? You have the names of some of the artists that have worked on this?
I can make mention of some of them, and I don't know if it's appropriate to give first and last name as well, but Chris Francis is an artist that lives up in Madison. Mm-hmm. Jerry Fogg is an artist that lives sure. in Sioux Falls. Angela Behrens, each of these, and there's some others as well that I'm not acquainted with, but each of them is involved, heavily involved in art and in telling this particular story.
All right. The Hiawatha Indian Asylum, the exhibit going on at the Dakota Discovery Museum in Mitchell. And lastly, what are the hours of the museum, Rod?
The museum is open from 9 to 6, Monday through Friday, and 10 to 4 on Saturday until the end of September. October 1st, we switched to winter hours, and we'll be 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. And
right.
So we'll be open then, and if people contact us and need to see the exhibit or the rest of the museum outside of those hours, they're free to contact us, and we can make special arrangements.
In this exhibit through Thanksgiving, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Rod Brown, thank you so much. We'll look forward to the next time we visit with you. We appreciate your time here on In the Moment today.